You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I realized that the only way through the pain was to like face it, right? Because it's like, I felt like for me, and this was maybe something that I learned about myself, I thought I could just like work my way out of it, or like, what, I'm gonna get out of this situation. I was like thinking I could get myself out of this situation, like, I don't know how. And I realized like, no, I have to let this hit me. I have to let this hit me. What's interesting about motherhood is that a lot of things that seemed important before will fall away. And then you might feel like, oh, that's my identity and that's me. But it, in fact, it's not you, right? Like at the end of the day, if we're really thinking holistically about this, like, you are you and that's it.
Yo, welcome back to that Twin Mama podcast. It's your girl Lauren here, and today, if you're new to the channel, you know we talk about music, identity, motherhood, and all the chaos in between. And if you've been following me for a while, you know that I love like one or two things. I love like making a funny video and like kind of highlighting some of the hard parts of motherhood but making it funny so we can laugh instead of cry. And normally I use some sort of form of 90s 2000s hip-hop and R&B or music to tell a story, or sometimes I'm ruining your childhood by like looking at lyrics that, you know, we didn't always know. But the love of music and the love of my kids is something that comes through in all my channels. So today, the guest is literally embodying those two worlds. And so it's a very special guest to me. Let me set the stage though. So we went up to New York back in March, and it was for this Apparently Kidding party. So if you haven't heard about Apparently Kidding, it's this really dope DJ set where it's for kids. So you know how like when you go to the playground or you do stuff for your kids, like you like to do it, quote unquote, because it's for your kids, but you don't really like enjoy just sitting there at the playground. At least I don't. Or I don't really enjoy like, yeah, great job, like I'm seeing you watch go down the slide again. Or if you're a kid's party, you're not like, this is so fun for me. You're there for your kids and you love, you know, watching them. But this party was actually fun for adults, teens, and toddlers. So there's DJ sets, which is actually playing dope music. And then there's bubbles and games and juice boxes and all this stuff for the kids. There's a bar for the adults. It just was all encompassing. Me, my husband, my teen, and my two toddlers all had a great time. And the person that puts these parties on is none other than the legendary Vashti. Now, if y'all don't know, you better ask somebody. Vashti, you may have known her as Downtown Sweetheart. She is a director, designer, DJ, and straight up a cultural icon, like real talk. She's the first woman to design a Jordan sneaker. And if you know me, I'm always in J's. That was something that we shared. We talked about on the podcast. We both got married in J's, period. Okay. She's directed for Kendrick, Solange, Bieber, DJed for Madonna, Prince, and Fendi. Drake even name dropped her in a Walk It, Talk It song. Like, girl is that it, girl. And she's just been setting trends quietly and powerfully for years. And now she's adding motherhood to the mix without losing her edge. So today we're talking about creativity, reinvention after motherhood, parenting and style, and what it means to grow without shrinking. So whether you've been following Vashti since like the 106 and Park days, hey, if you know, you know, or whether you're following me for some of my love of music or for parenting, you might just be trying to remember what bag, if you packed the goldfish in your diaper bag today. There is something in this episode for you, and I hope y'all love it just as much as I do. Let's do it.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Okay, hey girl, Vashti in the building today. I'm so excited that we were able to make this happen. I've been wanting to interview you for a while. How did we meet? We met through
Latham.
Yes,
but we were following each other before I was following you. Your content is amazing.
You're the best.
Super funny and authentic, which I love.
Yeah.
And we met at Latham's doula event.
I think we had just like recently connected online, and then I met you. It was like almost serendipitous.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so for the people who do not know, I know I give you a proper intro that they've gotten your whole bio and everything, but like, describe who Vashti is. you know, to the listeners who may not know.
You know, I am a downtown girl. Thank you. I've done quite a bit of things in the industry and within the culture. I started a party called 1992, which transitioned me into DJing. That party was worldwide, and I was the first girl to design a pair of Jordans.
Yes, girl, that's when I when I finally found your page, I was like, oh my god, I'm obsessed, because I wore Jordans to my wedding. Like, I've always just
same. Been, I got married in Jordans. Air Force Ones. My husband got married in Jordans.
Really? Mine were like the Dunk Wedges, so they weren't you know what I mean? But like, we had like our whole gown, and then I had the whole like dance. But I've always worn sneakers with like dresses, and that's just something that I feel like. I really see now your look is cool.
Thank you.
Like, but you've always been this girl.
Yes. So at a time when it wasn't cool.
Right.
At a time when going to the club meant you wore club clothes.
Right.
Like, that was what you called like it, club clothes.
Right. Yeah. Like heels and stuff like that. So how did you always just have this like identity of like, I know what I like, this is my style, and feel very like comfortable in that?
Yes. I think I'm like a typical Taurus. My horoscope sign is Taurus. So I like routine. I like uniforms in a sense, but I like to be comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I did try heels, and I was like, okay, I'm not graceful. I can't carry this. Like, even if I put on heels for like a shoot or something, I'm like, people think I'm like being dramatic. I'm like, I really cannot walk. Yeah. Like, I can't do this for very long.
We're soul sisters. I've broken my ankle several times.
Oh my God. Legit.
Like, this right one will never be the same.
No, and it's like, but how do we think that is like a realistic way to live our lives? Right. I mean, kudos to the women and people who wear heels, but like, I don't know how.
How that is a, So you are like an artist, I feel like you went to school for film, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you also were, I think, a designer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now creative designer, you've done like music videos. How did the DJing happen?
Yes. Though? So there's a whole like trip that my life has been.
Oh my gosh.
So I came to New York City for film school. Yeah. I studied film proper. I did cinematography, directing. I went to art school. And after that, I mean, within that time frame, I was just like this downtown dirtbag, like hanging out with like all the skateboarders at Supreme.
You were a skater girl?
I was when I was in junior high, a little bit of high school, but I'm not very good. And also like realized quickly that falling on your wrists is a problem.
Yeah.
And at that time I was in high school, I was working on my art portfolio to go to art school.
Got it.
So kind of realized, you know, I'm not really good at this. Like, let's not continue this path.
Don't want to get hurt.
Right. Yes. And so what I was doing where I grew up in Albany, I was like hanging out at, you know, the skate shop, going to the record store, and like doing all of those things. So when I moved to New York, I kind of mimicked that same, like, you know, world, which again is very Taurus. And so then through that, I met like a lot of influential people today that have become influential people. So like at that time, we were just like young kids. Yeah, so I basically went to film school, started my directing career, and then at the same time was doing parties in New York. Because at that time, in like the late 2000s, it was, if you went to a nightclub, I don't know how it was where you were living, but like if you went to a nightclub, most nightclubs, at least in Manhattan, New York City, like they did not play hip hop. Like they played a little bit, right? Because it was like, you know, I could name these clubs, but they were just like, it was weird. It was like a very weird time where you were listening to like, I don't even know what they played. They kind of played a lot of weird things, but like a little bit of hip hop because I didn't want like a black, you know, crowd to like come to this club.
Yeah.
Even though like that's whatever. Yeah. We can go into that. But and so at that time, me and my friends were, you know, we would try to go to these clubs because this is where all like the cool people or whatever were going. Yeah. And we realized like this isn't fun. Like, first of all, like a lot of us could not get in because you couldn't wear sneakers.
Yep.
And even I couldn't. I was told like you can't come in here. You're wearing sneakers.
Yep.
It was like bottle service or VIP. And then the music they played just was lame.
Was
so
trash.
We were like, let's just start our own party and play music that we like, which was like music from the 90s.
You have the same.
Right. Okay. So, and that's the thing. Like, we found a community of us, which was incredible because, you know, we went from feeling like alone in this like weird, you know, time, and then all of a sudden we were like, wow, there's other people like us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when I started the party, people thought I DJed, so people were trying to book me. And then
eventually, Q-Tip actually, Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest.
I mean, yes, girl.
The listeners, the viewers are. Yes. He reached out and was like, I'm doing a party in New York City, and I want you to help me put this together. So we did a party at Santos Party House, which Drake also shouts out.
Somebody like brought that to my attention. They're like, is this your girl, Vashti? I was like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like, this is just low-key just dropping your name. I'm like, yeah. Yes.
Thank you. So we started that party, and then through that, it was so I always wanted to DJ, but kind of felt like, you know, at that point, a lot of young people might not understand this, but like keeping it real was a real concept, it was a real idea, it was like being authentic, being true, right? So, like, you couldn't just start writing graffiti. You couldn't just start, you know, being a DJ, because it was like, who are you? Like, what have you done? And, like, you had to, like, build yourself up. And also a lot of the people in the DJ community were people who struggled through, like, their career. So it was, like, taking crates of records through a club. And, like, kind of, like, having that system. And then, you know, obviously at the time when I wanted to DJ, like, the technology had shifted into computers and laptops and all those things. So, you know, I kind of felt... because I'd come from the era of keeping it real, I felt like I was kind of lame just jumping into this after having seen people really put in work. But that was me just kind of being really strict in my mind. And I was telling this to Q-Tip, because he's like, why don't you DJ? And I told him this, and he's like, you're bugging. Like, just DJ. Like, he's like, you know good music. Like, you should be DJing. So I started at that era of my life.
That is dope. Yeah. So now, like, let's fast forward to now, which I just went to, you're apparently kidding, which you're a mom now. Like, so Vashti was that girl. You were, like, the cool girl, the it girl, like, that, like, literally, I think you were given that title, like, that girl or something like that.
An it girl.
By a while ago. So has motherhood humbled you? Do you feel like that girl still? Like, you have daughters, and I do too, and I feel like parenting daughters has taught me so much more about myself than I ever, like, really realized. So let's just back up. Like, take me into your motherhood journey.
Right.
Becoming a mom. How has that been for you? And how is this transition for Vashti now, like, being the mom?
The transition happened in 2020. Like, I kind of knew in my mind, I was like, oh, like, getting married and having kids. Not to say that that's the combination that has to happen.
Yeah.
I was kind of interested in it. I wasn't, maybe I went through periods in my life where I was like, oh, I really want to do that, or... you know, maybe periods where I was like, I'm open to, like, whatever happens, right?
Like, you weren't always like, I need to be a mom.
Like, I always thought, like, it would be great for it to happen. I always thought maybe motherhood more than, like, marriage. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I need to be, like, have this whole thing. Like, so I fell in love. My husband and I were friends for a long time. Okay. Then, you know, we were kind of in love with each other the whole time. Aww. But we got into a relationship, and it was just kind of, like, immediate, like, I knew, like, I want to be with this person, and I want, like... you know, a future, and I want children. And so we actually didn't really have a plan of, like, oh, like, maybe, you know, most people don't, right? You just sometimes you just get pregnant, and that's how it goes. And that's kind of like what happened with us. We kind of were like, you know, let's see what happens. And it happened kind of quickly. And so that's kind of what happened. I think for me, the transition was... I feel like for most moms, it's a big transition, because like, no one can prepare you for this journey. I think especially our media and what has been stripped from us about this journey and about this stage is, like, you know, it's all new. And I think it's, on one hand, it's like, it makes me really sad, because I feel like our cultures probably came from, like, a long line of people who, like, retain stories and retain tips and all the things, and then we kind of, like, lost all of that. So now we're kind of, like, getting back on track. So maybe it's a good thing, because I feel like, you know, with doulas and midwives, we're able to now, like, really feel more centered and connected. And not to say that OBGYNs are not also on that same page, but, you know, like, there's a culture of it that is, like, really strong, which is important. But I think the transition for me was, like, it's like you get hit by a truck, and then all of a sudden you have this little tiny thing or two tiny or more to care for immediately. And I think for me it was, and it has been, like, I still feel like that girl. I think the first year I was like, no, I'm not that girl. I'm like, who am I? What am I? Am I human? I don't know. I don't know the last time I brushed my teeth.
Girl, people need to talk about that, because we really do, like, go days without, like, am I having hygiene?
Completely. And it's survival, but it's, you know, I think now I do, I feel like I'm that girl. It's funny, because I feel like before having my first, I kind of, like allowed myself to like be more fun and like, I don't know, like more fun, but also like adventurous with fashion in work. Mm. But then my day to day, I would be literally wearing the same, like I would wear this like Nas baseball jersey. My husband was like, should we burn that? Because you wear it every day and you've been wearing it for years. Like at home, I would wear right, the same thing.
That was your thing.
Yeah. So I think now after having had my first and like realizing like, oh, wow, I was really not taking care of myself.
Yeah.
To me, it was like a real moment of like, I need to be able to be there for them.
Right.
And I need to like also be an example. Like, you know, it's fine, I guess, if some moms feel more comfortable kind of being cozy, but I feel like at this point also I'm like, I want to be an example for them and just, you know, walk out of the door feeling as great as I can, which makes a difference. But I, you know, I know you said that there's things that kind of get illuminated with having these small children and or children in general, and it's like, it's interesting. I now like I see my reaction to things and I'm like, why does that make me so upset? And what am I holding on to about that? Like just kind of like it's allowing me to address things that I never thought about before.
Yeah. It's like such an intense form of weird therapy in a way. Like it's children are your mirrors. So I think there's a lot of stuff. I don't know what your relationship was like with your mom, but there was just a lot of stuff that I realized becoming a mom to daughters that has healed us in a way, but also made me really think about who I want to be to them and like how I want to show up. What example do I want to set? What does like love look like with a husband, right? Like all these different little lessons I'm learning. And it's been wild. And I think like one thing that I think about, and I'm curious what you would say, but people often ask like, how do you do it all? Like, how do you do all the things that you do, wear these different hats? And 110%, I could not do it without a partner. Kudos to the women that can, but like that village for me was like so important. And I know you talked about this with Latham too, but just like the support around you, did your relationships change? Like did your village get smaller, bigger? Like you've been in a lot of different circles, so I'm just curious, did the relationships around you change once you became a mom, or were you more intentional about the people you were like letting close,
things all
like
that? Of that
really,
I think it's funny, I was I'm just realizing, like, yesterday with my husband, I'm like, oh, a lot of people that I was, like, best friends with, I'm no longer friends with. Like, they didn't come to a baby shower or, you know, I see them and they don't ask about kids. And that's, you know, I mean, I know that that's, like, a different layer of a friendship. But, like, it's like I'm realizing that there are a lot of people who probably were friends with me for a different reason when we were friends. And that's also something that I'm, like, learning about, too, because I guess for some other friendships, I felt like, oh, this like we're like coming together as two people who really care about each other, when in reality, maybe it was different, or maybe they've evolved, or maybe they've changed, and now, you know, our friendship no longer is the same for them.
Right.
I don't know. But I think I've lost, or I've been more intentional about certain friendships, and have naturally, like, lost some friendships.
Yeah.
And I think, interestingly enough, I've gained a lot more friendships through this parent-mother
apparently,
like, in general. But, like, you know, even friends of mine who I was, like, kind of not really friends with. Like, my old roommate who I, like, kept in touch with for a long time. But, like, now we're, like, even closer because she's a mom and I'm a mom. And it's, like, we're aligned because, you know, sometimes just being a mom doesn't hold you together. But, you know, like, you're on the same page and, like, you're there for each other. And it's, like, so I have a really nice mom community of, like, when I first had my daughter, I was, like, talking to friends from high school that I hadn't talked to in, like, years.
Right.
But they were, like, I'm here for you. Like, you can text me anytime. Yeah. And, like, so, yeah, interestingly enough, I've lost some and I've gained some.
Yeah, so you find that balance. Because I think it's strange. I do have a lot of friends that aren't parents. But they don't feel, like, I think when I first had my son, I was super young. I was 23. Mm-hmm. We just had him on birth control. It was wild time. But when I had him, no one was having kids. Like, I mean, I was 23. Like, we were babies.
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, I thought all these people were going to be around, and they just weren't. And they didn't have, like, that, like, thing in common. But then I found, like, my mom community. I found, like, different people at school that he would go to school with and, like, those parents. And then I had that void kind of filled through them. But I realized not every single one of my friends has to understand that. But when you do, it's like, I don't know, I had different groups of different people for different reasons.
Right.
And I think the mom one has just been such a value now. Like, especially you need that. Like, mm-hmm. there's villages and there's places in other countries right. that it's all about, like, literally having a village and supporting right. that mom. And I think without that, it's just would be really hard mm-hmm. and, like, get lost in all, like, everything that you have to go on. Like, you wouldn't be able to do, wear the, all, like, all the hats, I feel like, mm-hmm. as a wife, businesswoman, like, all the things without having some support.
Right, absolutely.
What did it look like for you? Did you use a doula when you gave birth? Was it natural?
Yes.
Like, okay. So I feel like you had a water birth or something beautiful like that with some incense and some, like, just something that was like the, that at home.
That was the plan. So, well, first of all, I know that you mentioned your husband. My husband is an exceptional partner. He's incredible. He's just, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm in awe of women who are doing it alone or dads who are doing it alone or caretakers who are doing it alone. But having him is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we had planned this whole thing. You know, I planned it. I was like, I want a midwife. I want a doula. I want a home birth. Yep. It was also COVID. It was, like, at the height of COVID.
Yeah.
So it was, like, I was going in for, like, you know, appointments, and it was like you couldn't bring anyone with you, you couldn't sit in the lobby, you had to wear a mask, and so it was a very scary time. But also I'm very, and I think we kind of share it, like, I'm very holistic with, like, my approach on things, and I had watched the documentary The Business of Being Born when I was, like, in art school, and I was like, oh my god, like,
you weren't terrified? I remember watching that and being like, I'm scared.
What terrified me more was, you know, the potential experience of going, and not to say that this is for everyone. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, like, a hospital birth is a great, like, option, or it's a great first choice. Like, I'm not judging anyone, and I'm not, and I love that we have care and doctors and all of that. But I felt like after having watched that, I was like, oh, I would like my experience to be more, you know, homegrown.
Yeah.
I would love to be at home with, like, my family or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just sort of have something that I could, you know, feel comfortable in.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the, you know, birth is so animalistic. Like, you need to feel safe. Your body needs to open. Like, there's so many layers to it that I think that, you know, again, like, these are the things that we don't understand and we don't know. And I think, you know, I have friends who are like, oh, just give me a shot and I'm ready. I don't care.
Right.
Like, no big
deal
to
me. Give me the drugs,
But for me, I'm just like, okay, I would prefer it to be a little bit more, I don't know, like, I'd like to be immersed in this experience. I'd like to have this experience. So I had a midwife and doula. I had a midwife team.
Okay.
And I, you know, basically once a week we had, like, meetings over Zoom, and we like went over, like, what the, you know, how to, you know, change diapers to breastfeeding to all the things. It was so educational, informative, and I loved the experience. Loved it.
Oh gosh.
And then, you know, when push came to shove, no pun intended, I'm sure a million people on this have said that. You know, it was like one morning I woke up, I think I was 2 days early, and I woke up and I was like, something in my head was like, okay, stand up right now. Like, I got out of bed and all of a sudden my water broke. And I was like, so I was like thrilled. It's like you had told me, like, we were taking a trip to, like, Paris to stay in, like, a chic hotel. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And I went and told my husband, and he's like, okay. He was, like, nervous and excited. Yeah. He texted our doula and our midwife, and they were like, okay, don't worry. Like, just take your time, like, eat something good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kind of just get comfortable. And I was like, okay, great. But immediately after that happened, my, like, whole body was just, like, having, like, waves of the most, like, paralyzing pain. What I realized after was back labor. I went straight into back labor. So contractions started to come, and before I knew it, it was, like, just back labor. Which, for most people, if you don't know, it just could mean that, like, your baby's in the wrong position.
Right, right.
So at that point, we didn't fully know that. I just knew, like, I'm paralyzed every time this happens, and I can't eat, I can't drink. And so that went on for, like, a full-on 30 hours at home. And I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't drink anything. Our doula came over immediately. And what's funny is that in, like, later on, we spoke to our doula and midwives, and they both told us that they were like, we thought your labor was going to be, like, in and out because I followed their diet. I was super active. I did everything they told me to do. I just, even with sitting, right? Because the thing is like, if you sit in an awkward position, the baby can then be put in an awkward place, and then it won't be able to, like, naturally come out. So
you're doing all the things.
I did everything.
I followed their diet. Anyway, so they thought this was going to be an easy birth, and not to say that it was difficult or challenging, but I mean, because every baby comes the way they want to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to come over immediately, at least the doula, and she was like kind of like trying to coach me through this. And immediately I realized that the only way like through the pain was to like face it, right? Because it's like I felt like for me, and this was maybe something that I learned about myself, I thought I could just like work my way out of it, or like what, I'm going to get out of this situation. I was like thinking I could get myself out of this situation, like I don't know how.
Yeah.
But and I realized, like, no, I have to let this hit me. I have to let this hit me. And it was such a strange time because it's like your brain, it's like you don't have, like, a logical thought in a way. It's like you're, I mean, I'm, all the moms out there, I'm like, yeah, hello. Like, I know. But, like, it's just, like, the places you go are so, like, animalistic. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. But anyway, 30 hours later. The midwives had come, they had pulled out the blowout tub, they're like having me in every like angle, nothing was working. I had to have an emergency like trip to the hospital.
Really?
Yes. And then it went from like okay to the emergency, like we need to do a vacuum suction.
What?
They did an episiotomy without my permission.
What?
With
Girl.
No pain meds.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
what?
Thanks. Yeah.
And this isn't COVID, right? Because it's
during
the height
COVID,
of COVID. So
right.
There's all these, like, I just remember giving birth in COVID. Like, they do a test, which was, like, another, like, painful thing. I was in a mask when I gave birth. But, like, they're just, the moms that had birth in COVID, it just was different. If you know, you know. But, like, on top of that, you're in a pandemic.
Yes.
Girl.
It was intense. And it was.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It was like everything that like I had worried about, like going into a hospital situation. Like it was a hospital that our midwives sent us to, that there were midwives working there.
Okay.
So we had a midwife and a doctor. The doctor ended up giving me the episiotomy without, like, she was just like, I have to cut you, and then cut me. And I was like, oh, my God. It was like, it was very
trauma.
Traumatic.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to be able to talk about it.
Jeez.
But yes. And I want to, like, give everyone, like, you know, please don't listen to this and be mortified or scared. If you're pregnant, if you're, you know, thinking about a second or a third, whatever, please don't let this scare you. Because I look back on it and it's like, you know, also part of this experience is that like they needed to get the baby out safely and like whatever. My baby's here and I'm very thankful.
Perfect, yes.
The experience was different than I had expected. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like I didn't plan on going to the hospital. I didn't have the like plan B in the back of my mind, even though the midwife and doula did also like say that you should think about this. But yeah. That was my birth story.
That was your, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then you ended up having like more.
Yeah, my second.
So it didn't like.
No.
But it's just interesting. I think it's almost very symbolic of just how motherhood is. Mm-hmm. Like you think you plan and then it like you can't always.
Exactly.
You know, like it just puts you in the most vulnerable, like very humbling states that you'll ever be in. And like. You know, you make plans and God laughs. That's like
exactly.
a whole thing.
And I think that like, for me, and I'm, you know, you're an Aries.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I feel like as also a Taurus, I'm like, oh, I can plan, I can organize, and like, I have it under control. And with you, that was your story. But with me, it's going to be a different story.
Right. I can see you leaning like this too. Be like, girl, I'm going to get my tub.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, so I think, yes, it was very humbling. And it also like taught me also that's just sort of like the world of children. Right. It's like, you think that you're going to be able to discipline and do this and this and that. And then you're going to learn, okay, maybe that doesn't work for them. And maybe they're different. And maybe this is how I need to approach this. And
exactly. How have you changed? Like, motherhood, I feel like, I don't know, for me, like, my time management is just, I don't have time. So the decisions I got to make, I just got to make them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, like, very direct with what I need at times, because it's just, like, you don't have the same amount of luxury that you had before. Have you seen that happen with, like, the way that you are, the way you are in business, the way you are with, that, like, things you commit to or don't?
Really? I think for my second, I think with my first, I also functioned very much like I need to take my time. Yeah. I don't like to be rushed. My again,
Taurus, very Taurus. Yes, you are very Taurus.
Like, don't rush me. I'm not gonna rush myself.
I'm gonna get some good food.
Right. But now with my second, I'm like, oh, I really have so much limited time. And it's like, you know, then we have like childcare and we have our, you know, one kid in school. So it's like, oh, like I really have limited time. Like even now, I'm like, I'm gonna pick her up from school. Yeah. Like it's like everything has to be super timed. And yes, now it makes it easier for me to understand, like, okay, does this work for me? Is this a waste? Not necessarily a waste of my time. Does this make sense for me? Does this make sense for this person? Can I be a better partner for a job or a client at a later date? You know, so learning also how to say no.
Boundaries,
That's the other thing. I think before I would take things on, just even before having kids, I would take things on knowing like, oh, this is going to stress me out or this is too much.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, I know that I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like I just can't. I would love to. It doesn't make me, you know, this is also something like being a woman. Like you feel like terrible. You're letting someone down.
Right.
Like I should be able to do all the things. And then, but really understanding like, okay, I am limited and I understand I can perform my best with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But
I feel like I've admired like some of the boundaries I feel like you set, like even with like your kids and stuff. Like I think for me, I didn't know that I was gonna turn into like this platform.
Right.
I just like was just kind of sharing in COVID.
Right.
It was very scary and like you couldn't like go out and have like mommy groups. Mm-hmm. And so I just started to share what I was going through. And there was like power in that. And I made like this great community of people that got me through those things. But I forget like they're millions of people now sometimes watching my kids. And I think something that happened for me, which now I'm like really just thinking about what I do, but we were at Costco and someone recognized the girls and just went up directly to them and was, oh, you're the twins. And it just freaked me the fuck out. I was like, wait, hold up. Like, don't go up to them. You come up to me.
Right.
But then I realized the stage that they're on. And I'm not saying like, I don't know what the future is going to look like, but there's part of me that wants to reel it back in because people shouldn't get access to my kid. I don't know. It's just I feel very mama bear protective. So has there been like, have you had firm boundaries with like what you share about like being a mother, things online and how you show up? Because you also are a brand, but how does that look like now as a mom?
Right. And I understand what you're talking about because I think before I get into that, my career has been sort of like, has been existing for so long in a public way that like I'm used to like being in situations where I'm like with, you know, a family member and someone's like interrupts it, you know, like I'm used to knowing that there are some people that don't have the boundaries,
right?
Or maybe they are, you know, they're very excited, they're very happy and they're well-meaning, but they don't realize that maybe they're interrupting a moment or this isn't the time or place. So I've had many instances with that. I've also had some stalkers.
Oh no.
Which is why when I DJ a lot of things publicly, I have a personal security guard with me.
Girl.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. So I think that based off of that history, I was like made very aware that, you know, some people, again, like they're well-meaning, they might not just understand what their actions might mean in the moment, right? Because I've had those moments too where I've seen someone that I loved and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna go right up to them. You know, and mind you, they're like having a deep conversation with like their own family or they're like going through something and you don't know, which is often why people then get dubbed for being like, oh, they're mean,
right?
Or they're not as nice as I wanted them to be, but whatever. So so I'm mindful of that, but I think that like when my kids came into the picture, I realized that I have a large community of people that I connect with that really feel like they know me. And it's also because I've exposed myself enough where I've connected with these people and I want them to feel like, you know, I'm a friend or I'm friendly with them. But I understood that, like, I didn't want that for my kids. Like, I want them to be able to choose. You know, and it's, again, like, becoming a parent made me rethink a lot of things. There was a point in time when I was going to just like pierce my kids' ears because I was like, oh, my ears were pierced when I was a baby. And I'm like, that's the thing we do in our culture. It's like very normal. And then like, I don't know what I was reading or like listening to. And then it was like, you know, this is their body. And it's like, you know, giving them the choice of, you know, having this, you know, put on them, even if it's tradition or this and that. And I was like, and it took me a long time to really understand that. And it made sense. I even had like a homegirl who was like, you know, she had a daughter and she had pierced her ears. And she's like, her daughter was now 12. And she was like, why did you pierce my ears? And she's like, oh, it's like something we do. Right. And she's like, I don't wear earrings. I don't even like earrings. And now I have these holes in my ear. Like,
that is wild.
Yeah. And so it's just an interesting thought. Yeah. But so I guess I'm trying to be more mindful about them. But yeah, I think it's I like it that people feel like they know me, but I definitely want the boundary for my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just something that I don't know, anticipate. And my husband's obviously, he's been public, right? But like very private with our family. He's always been that way. And I only started sharing because it was COVID.
Right.
But I think something happened. I haven't shared this publicly, but the girls were on the Today Show and I didn't give consent. And so my girlfriend was on a plane and she's like, it was one of their videos where it's like a baby monitor, so you couldn't really see their faces, which was one thing. But she was on the plane. She's like, Carson Daly just introduced your girls. I was like, what? Where are you? She's like, I'm on a plane from Atlanta. It's in the back of the seat. And I just immediately got upset. Like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is like a thing. Like, this is cool. Let me tell my friends. I was like immediately upset and immediately went into protective mode. And that's like the Today Show, which is, it was a nice piece. It was positive. It was Hoda. But like, I'm like, I forgot that people can take the videos that I share and they can repurpose it however they want to. And I think in that moment, like if that's like a influencer career like move, they want to get to this. My manager was all excited. I was like, I'm not.
Right.
I feel violated. And so it's just something that I think as mothers, we want so much for our kids and we want to make sure that we protect them at all costs. And I don't think that I mean, the internet is just wild. Mm-hmm. It's just a wild place. And I've always been like very trusting. Mm-hmm. Like I'll post something and my friends will be like, girl, we can see the address. I'm like, oh, okay. And like, I'll take it down. So I don't know. I just think about, I admire you because thank I feel you. Like you're very set on that boundary. And I'm like, it's important because the internet is wild and people
but,
are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know it's tricky because you couldn't have anticipated that. And also it's like, that was a way for you to connect with other moms.
Yes. Yeah. And that was, and I love that I've connected with other moms. I think the internet, I mean, what's your feeling on it? Have you looked to it for advice for motherhood? Have you found like community online?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know.
I feel like TikTok and Instagram is like, and probably more TikTok these days because it's so educational.
Yes.
Like, I learned how to cut a mango properly for the first time. Like, wait, I'm Trinidadian, and I didn't know how to cut a mango. And some Filipino man was like, this is how you cut a mango, okay? And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. But also, in general, as a mom, like, you know, like, I didn't know about colostrum. I learned about it through a lactation consultant.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just like, that's something we should know about.
Right.
Like, why don't we know about that? And I mean, if you don't know, please look it up.
Yes.
But also, like, even the new rules, it was like some woman had posted, and I'm sure you probably have seen it, like many people have redone this, where it's like, if someone has a baby, do not expect to hold that baby. You should come to their house with food, with coffee, go into that home, clean their home, like put some dishes in the dishwasher, do something with a new baby, right? Because it's like, this new mom, yes, of course she needs help. She needs support. Like, support her in this journey by, like, doing for her. Like, the baby doesn't know you and does not need to, like, be held by you right away. So
exactly. There's so many things I think we've, like, learned. The internet has been fabulous for that. But I also, there's so many things I take in. And I'm like, is now something wrong with my kid because I said no three times?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, all the advice. And so do you have, like, a rule of thumb? Like, when you consume things about, I'm going to take this, I ain't going to take that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm open to, like, seeing, like, what it's about. Because I think, like, you know, even, then there's things that are broad term. Like, gentle parenting for some people might seem like, oh, you don't intervene with your child at all. Or, you know, so I feel like,
do you gentle parent or conscious parent, whatever you want to
call it? So, I don't know what it is.
Girl.
But for me, I'm, like, very much gentle as in comparison to my where I come from. So it's, like, conversation, but it is sort of, like, teaching techniques of, like, how to calm your body down.
Right,
or
emotional regulation.
Or just also, like, there is another technique that this woman does. I don't know her name, but she talks about how some toddlers, at a certain age, a toddler is, like, trying to maybe like control the outcome of the situation mm-hmm. by like letting loose with their emotions. Mm-hmm. So like if you give into it or try to talk too much about it, you know, it will then give them more fuel. Yeah. But she, like, one of her advice is that, like, and at first when I heard it, because my kid was too young, I was like, no, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because my kid really just doesn't know the words for like certain things.
Right.
But now I'm like, they're old enough now, and, you know, now they just want a toy. And I'm like, no. And then it's like, I have to hear a tantrum or big feelings, if you will.
Big feelings,
And so she's basically like, just let them have the big feeling. Like, they need to be able to also have that feeling, which is true, right? Like, we shouldn't, you know, if, you know, we're in our positive adult self, like, we should be able to have a feeling and, like, just let ourselves feel it and not numb it with, like, a drink or food or whatever.
That's so true. I will say something that's worked for me, and I know your kids are around the same age, but my one twin bee, she has big feelings. Like, and I know they're the same because they're twins and we're raising them, like, the same, but she just has bigger feelings than the other one. And something that has kind of worked, I'm like, I don't always go by all these, like, subscribe to all these, like, toddler tips, but if it ever is happening, apparently your brain can't hold two things at once. So if you're having a big feeling, and I'm like, okay, let's try and find colors of the rainbow, like, for you to logically be able to do that, she can't be upset.
Right.
So I've been like, they know the colors now, right? And so it's like, okay, can we find something red in the room, orange? And I tell you, that has worked.
You know what? Girl. I've seen this too, this information.
Yes.
And I think that, like, my nanny's really good at it because she is like a magic worker. But that is true.
Yes, they can't hold two things. And it kind of works for adults, too. Like, if you are having, like, an emotional thing and then you look for colors or something like that, it has to take your brain. Yeah. Can't hold the two things. So I don't say everything works, but that has been working for Shiloh.
Okay, I'm going to try that
more. Yeah, maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the listeners that, you know, the moms that maybe are in the thick of it, they feel like they've lost themselves a little bit or they're looking for, like, their creative outlet again, do you have any advice for those moms listening now who might be transitioning from businesswoman to single, like, to stay-at-home mom, like, that kind of transition?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny, there's this movie that I love, it's called Baby Boom. It's from the
Baby
80s
Boom?
It is such a great movie. It's like one of my favorite movies.
We'll have to link it.
In this movie, this is probably boring, but but in this movie, it's this woman who's, like, a high-powered, like, executive, and she's like calling all the shots, she's a boss, and then, like, and she lives in Manhattan, and her life is, like, fancy. And some lawyer calls and is like, oh, like, your family member has passed away, and we need to go over their will, and there's something from the will for you. And she's like, okay. So she goes to this office, and they're like, okay, like, is this your name? And she's like, yeah. And they're like, okay, sign the paper. And she signs it, and they're like, okay, here's this baby. And she's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you were named as the person who would take care of this baby. And it's, like, her family member, like, in Nebraska. So she's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, there's no maternal instinct in this woman's body.
Right.
And she becomes a mom overnight.
Right.
And she can't keep up with her job anymore.
Right.
And so she ends up getting fired, and she moves to a country house. And her whole life is falling apart. Please watch it. It's maybe not the most inspirational for a lot of people, but it's funny and I love it. But in it, she moves to this country house, and then the house is falling apart. She just everything's falling apart. Yeah. And then she realizes she's, like, on an apple orchard, and she just ends up making applesauce for the baby because the baby likes it, and she's just making tons of it. And she's, like, swimming in this applesauce because it's the only thing that keeps her, like, contained. And then she ends up selling it to all these stores, and it becomes a huge hit. And then the agency that she worked for ends up wanting to, or being the people who do the campaign for her applesauce. And so now she's, like, you know, negotiating with them, and now she's in this position of power. Anyway, it's a beautiful dream of a story.
Yeah.
But I, having said all that, sorry to bore you, but
no, it's not boring. I feel like I know where this is going.
I'm also a little half asleep because my kid ended up in our bed last night because she couldn't sleep, and then the baby woke up at, like, 5.
You're still breastfeeding too, right?
Yes, which I didn't think I would be. I'm gonna be the weird mom who has, like, the 5-year-old.
Now you can, like, now you can have that hippie tourist thing. You may not
have
to go home.
Well, I didn't plan it. I was gonna be, like, a year and done, and then now it's, like, a year and a half, and this child will not let me live.
Yeah, she's gonna be asking for it at her wedding. Like, mom, let me get that titty.
Don't make me that weirdo. But anyway, I mean to say that, like, I think what's interesting about motherhood is that a lot of things that seemed important before will fall away. And then you might feel like, oh, that's my identity and that's me. But in fact, it's not you, right? Like, at the end of the day, if we're really thinking, you know, holistically about this. Like, you are you, and that's it. Like, it, no job defines you, no person defines you. And even motherhood doesn't define you. But what's nice about motherhood is that it allows you to shift what your priorities are. And you can find things that work for you. And I know it's easier said than done, because motherhood is a very, it's a roller coaster of a journey where one second you're fine and then the next second you're falling apart.
Right.
But I think that if you're able to like take time for yourself and like, and really like, I don't know, ask a friend if you don't have childcare, if your child's not old enough to be in school, like ask a friend, a family member to like take them, like take a walk, do something for yourself.
Yep.
Number one, take care of yourself. I think that's unanimous. You can't take care of anyone else unless you're taken care of.
Yeah.
And also maybe redefine, like, you know, I'm a big supporter of writing things down.
Yeah.
I, like for me, digital notes and having thoughts in my head is not very helpful. So like writing, like writing out, like, what am I good at? What can I do? Like, how do I combine my interests and my new life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, that was apparently
kidding. It was so good. Y'all, 10 out of 10 recommend.
Thank you.
So, like, so was that like a little, like, that's something that came from you just writing and journaling or what have you, and you realize I'm gonna merge these two loves of mine.
It was really just taking my kid like to things, right? So
right.
We would go to the playground. I don't love that experience.
Right.
Going to play places, don't love it. And I was like, I don't love any of these things.
Yeah.
Like, and it's fine, because as a parent, you don't think, oh, am I having fun? Like,
right.
what can I be doing? It's like, you don't think about that. You just want your kid to have fun.
Right.
But for me, I was like, why can't the parents also have a good time, right? And you know, as my kids started to get older, I realized like the times where we have like, I think the most important memories is when we're like laughing at the same thing. Like when we're dancing and really having a good time. Like, and you know, there are plenty of times where we take them and we're just like, yeah, okay, fun. And we're not really having fun. And I think they know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was really like an answer for that. But also I'm a DJ, and then, you know, doing nightlife for me now, like I'm like, I ask people, can I do the opening set?
Right.
And they're like, no, you can't start at 10 o'clock. Like, you need to go on at 1. And I'm like, God, that's awful. Because then you have to wake up and still be a parent.
Right.
Like, you have to be up at, like, 5, 6, 7, whatever, and be on it, like, making breakfast and getting the things.
Right.
But so it was like that. It was also that knowing that, like, when I started DJing, there weren't many women DJs, one, and many women DJs that were moms. I don't think I saw mom DJs. Or maybe they were, and their life was very private, but I think the transition into doing a job that is very nightlife driven is hard on parents, and especially moms.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I love it. So for people who don't know, like, apparently kidding is like a DJ event, but it's during the day. It's in the kids. We just brought our kids. My teenager even had fun for what teenagers.
I hope so.
After I was like, did you have fun? He's like, yeah, that was really fun. I was like, I wouldn't have known that you were having fun, but he did. And the girls, I mean, they have stuff for, there's like a bubble wand and all these different things. And then my husband, Ryan, had the most fun.
Oh, he did?
He did. Like, when he left, he was like, that was the funnest thing. I was like, okay. Like, he really, really loved it. So I just think it's dope that you were able to merge these worlds, because it's good music.
Mm-hmm.
There's kids' music too,
right,
but it's actually dope music.
Yeah.
And we genuinely were having fun as a family, which I'm just so glad that you decided to do something like this. You see a gap or a need, and you're filling it. And I think that's something that you're kind of mentioning with motherhood. Like, I never knew that I was going to have twins. I never knew that a lot of my content or things would be around motherhood. I'm starting to take acting classes and things I loved to do when I was younger. For some reason, they became like a muse for me, like lit a fire under my creativity again. Before, I was doing like nonprofit work, like leading a recruitment team for TFA. Like, for that was my career. And it wasn't until it just something shifted. So I love your applesauce baby boom thing, right? And I love that, like, even if you're a mom, motherhood is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. It's the most challenging thing I've also ever done, but it makes me just want to be that much of more of a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be the best version of myself.
Right.
Because I want them to, like, look at me like a Beyonce. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be that.
You know, it's so funny. I had this thought. I don't know what made me think of this, but, you know, like, you often hear people, it's basically more of an old school thing where it's like this saying, like, oh, she gives so much to everyone. And like, so it's funny because that statement to me, usually now that I know what it takes to be like in this like role, it's like, I don't like the idea that like women have to like bend over backwards and give so much of themselves that you know that they didn't give you know, yes. to themselves. Like, yes. they just gave themselves away to everybody else. And I'm like, yes. yeah, like, that's nice. It's nice that you love that. And it's nice that they want to yeah. do for others. But it's also not a great way to no. operate.
No. And we would idolize that. That would right. be like, my mom, you exactly. know, worked two jobs and she never complained. I'm like, no, right. she was freaking suffering.
Exactly.
She was a victim. Sorry, exactly. I don't want that. I want better.
Exactly.
So I think, like, us renaming this, like, reclaiming, totally. Like, it's not a flex to be depleted and be a superhuman.
No,
it really
not.
Ain't. Not no. anymore. Okay, so what's next for Vashti? I know you have your birthday party coming
yes.
up. I don't know if this will air before then, but
okay.
Okay, what, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what I can talk about now,
okay.
but
okay.
the party is ongoing. We're going to take it on tour.
Yeah.
And hopefully we take it down
yes,
where you are.
Hell,
yeah,
yes.
I would love that. We should talk about
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I can help you find a space and
okay,
stuff,
perfect.
Too.
Like, that would be amazing.
Okay, we'll talk.
And I think that's it. I think yeah. now we're like, I'm planning kindergartens. I'm
right.
taking tours of schools. And
I know. Have you, is Violet coming back?
You know. There might be an iteration of something new coming.
Okay.
Which, but okay. yeah, Violet, okay. I love Violet. And it's so funny because now I see it everywhere. Like, people are using that name for a lot of different
huh.
brands. And I'm like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to?
Well, yeah, technically, trademark-wise,
yeah.
yes.
We're gonna need you to. I'm gonna need you to do some
yes.
design stuff.
Well,
make
we'll
kids.
We'll
okay,
talk.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, where can my listeners find you? Where are you on
yes.
socials?
I'm on Instagram at Vashti, and I'm also on TikTok, but it's like underscore Vashti
okay.
underscore.
Do you post on TikTok?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm really,
like a consumer.
I'm a huge consumer.
Yeah.
I'm like an unfair customer. I'm like, give me,
yeah.
give me, give me, and
don't
I give you nothing
banned.
In return.
I know.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so happy that we finally got to do this.
Yes,
it was
same.
Amazing. There'll be more stuff coming. I can't wait for you to come
yes.
to DC.
And thank you for your content, because I know oh. probably people tell you, but like yeah. it, there are moments where I'm like, no one understands this experience. And then I see you recreating something in such a humorous yeah. and like just fun way. And I'm like, I can laugh at it. It'll make me emotional. But it's true, because it's like the humor of it all makes it so much more not livable, but then you get to see a different aspect, and you're like, you know what, this is funny, this
yeah.
is silly, and it is hard.
Yeah.
But thank you.
No, I appreciate you, and that's literally why I do it. Like, it's just like my form of therapy,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm at your event. There were so many women that came up, just like, I love your content, all
yes.
that stuff. And I was just like, I don't know. It's just when you find community like that, and
mm-hmm.
like even people take a second to let you know. I mean, that's huge.
Right.
And coming from you, that just means the world. So I
it's
appreciate
true.
You, sis.
Thank you.
Okay, y'all. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. We'll catch you in the next one. Peace.
And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your 5-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.